Hello and welcome to The Conduit's new podcast series, Service Please. This series will be focusing on ethical and sustainable hospitality, engaging with a diverse range of industry experts and a variety of individuals across different sectors, disciplines, roles, and levels. From supply chains to sourcing, waste management to well-being and welfare, what problems need tackling? And what does the future of hospitality look like? I'm Rosie Fletcher, the Editorial and Impact Manager at The Conduit, a home for people passionate about positive impact. I'm thrilled that we have partnered with the brilliant Design Hotels on a four-part series spotlighting some amazing individuals who have created incredible places to stay around the world. For a quarter of a century, Design Hotels have been at the forefront of a movement in travel by curating a global collection of independent, design-driven hotels that function as social hubs and spaces for purposeful experiences, connection, and curiosity. Today, I'm joined by Christian Wassmann from the beautiful Restrepo Hotel in Umbria. Hi, Christian. Welcome to the Conduits podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Rosie. So nice to join you today.
No, I'm really...
Thank you for having
me. No, you're so welcome to be here. I'm really excited about our discussion. And I would love to start by hearing a bit more about your journey to creating Restrepo.
Well, it was a little bit more of a romantic whim, in the sense that it wasn't very well planned, the initial beginning of it. But we've been in Fanican in my family for the past almost 30 years, 25 plus years. And my husband and I always kind of dreamt about doing a little B&B there. Our building was actually just kind of crumbling. It was abandoned for, you know, 15 years or so. So it was a lovely opportunity to take a forgotten building and turn it into something beautiful, which is something that we really love to do with historic homes.
And how has the process been for you? So what kind of experience can people expect when they come to Restrepo? How did you build a property that's based on your values? And what's your real mission with it?
Well, our whole point was always to be as involved in our local community as possible. We our brand Restrepo means a hand rake that we use for harvesting our olives, because we make olive oil, and that kind of is a big representation of our area. Our area in Umbria. We make a lot of olive oils, and we just love the idea of everyone coming together in the grove and harvesting together and spending time together making this communal product. Yeah, it's just something that we really identified with and we've been doing. So when we got the property, we linked on to our olive oil, because that's just so representative.
It's a symbol.
It's a symbol, exactly. And so it started with the olive oil brand, then we connected it with our hotel, because it's also, a hotel is also a place where people come together and obviously enjoy each other's company.
Tell me a bit more about how important your local community is to you at Restrepo, because it seems like you've done a lot of work in engaging locals and making sure that, from the point of view as a business there, that you're not stepping on any toes, and you've worked quite hard to make that happen. Is that right?
Yeah, that's completely right. So it starts from just our team. Everyone who is part of our team is a local. So I make a point to really hire local staff. It was always very important from the very beginning, and I'm super proud of them, because they really, really just stepped up. And just to the degree that, you know, a lot of our team members want to improve their English, so we support them for English lessons, or they want to improve themselves in a special like the kitchen maybe wants to do a special class in vegan cooking, and so we sponsor them to do that, or mixology. Our mixologist wants to do a special mixology training, so we sponsor them with that. And that's always been something that is just part of who we are, the way that I believe in doing business. And yeah, we just try. So it starts with this team, and then it goes into when we have guests come. We always like to encourage our guests to experience Panicale in the best way possible. So we do have an on-site restaurant and bar that's open every day, but we always encourage guests to go into the piazza and have dinner at one of the restaurants there. We have three great restaurants in town. We also have two bars, and we have another. So we have wonderful places to go. So we always encourage people to go into town and experience it.
It's so important, I think, for hospitality professionals, and especially in hotels, to really engage with the surroundings that they have, and the sense of place, and that really feeds through to the guests that are staying with you. And in terms of your sustainability philosophy, and so obviously community is at the heart of like maintaining your business from a sustainable point of view within the community. But what about the other things that come into your philosophy and your approach on a day-to-day level at Restrayo?
Our sustainability concept starts in the rooms, and it goes all the way to our kitchen and our products of what we offer to the guests, and also how we encourage them to experience our local area. So in the rooms, for example, we have, when I was first choosing even just the bathroom products, it was, this was only a few years ago, but a couple of years ago, we've only opened a little bit over a year ago, but it was really hard to find refillable pumps. So even that was like a journey, but now if I look at our supplier, they've also improved. So there's things that are moving, and I feel like some of the things that were always important to me are now becoming normal. For example, no mono-use products in the bathrooms. So that's something that is important to me, but I feel like that's something that's normal nowadays. I don't know if that makes me
normal.
I don't know if it makes me more special, which I'm super excited about. And then in the rooms, we don't have any plastic bottles. So we have glass bottles waiting for you in the fridge, and then you can refill them in the lounge. So the lounge is a space where you can serve yourself, like I said, water, and also, coffee and tea. And it's like a self-service area. So I don't have mono-use items in a mini bar in the rooms, yeah, in the guest rooms. And then the items that we offer, for example, we have infusions that come from herbs from our garden. And those little details, I think, make the difference that guests see, that we don't have plastic bottles, or we don't, when they ask, oh, can I take a coffee to go? I literally say, I'm so sorry, we don't have to-go cups, you know, and it's not that I don't want to serve. It's just, it's part of who we are.
Of course.
And then it goes to our kitchen, where like all of the wines on our wine list are local wines. So I try to talk a lot about Umbria. Umbria, it's not as well known as Tuscany. And I feel like a lot of what we do is just, we're just, ambassadors for Umbria. and we're really proud to be, because it's such a beautiful part of Italy, and people and visitors don't know that much about it as they do, for example, Tuscany. So our wines are all local. All of our we try to put most of our spirits in our mixology back bar as local as possible. Obviously, it's difficult when you're talking about a tequila, but for example, we have Tuscan gins, and we have an Italian vodka, and I think that's important. We have a craft soda instead of regular sodas. All of our beers are local Umbrian beers.
It's amazing.
Craft beers, and then in our kitchen, we have an organic garden that supplies our kitchen. And we talk a lot about waste management back of the house, which is super important to us.
How do you deal with the waste management system? Because it's quite intricate, it's quite detailed, and I imagine in Italy the process is not necessarily straightforward.
Yeah, it's not. It's been something we've kind of just developed on our own. And the way we've developed it is all of our kitchen waste we feed to the chickens, and then the chickens eat that. And then with the eggs, we we wash and dry the eggs and we pulverize them and we use them as a calcium supplement in our gardens. And then our kitchen cuttings, we always compost. So we do a lot of composting, and then the compost we then use in our olive grove because we're also organic in our groves. And we also use the chickens and the local wild boar, unfortunately a little too much, aerate the groves as well, which is great. So we get really, really geeky about how we treat our gardens and our groves.
I love the geekiness. Like, the more nerdy we can get about waste management, the better. I mean, how many bins do you have?
We have our bins separated in the kitchen and in the cleaning area of the kitchen. So every morning we separate them. And the compost wise, we have worms. We have one like settling compost pit. Then we have an active compost pit. Then we have a bigger compost pit.
Oh my
gosh. So we have like maybe four on the farm, but our farm is really, really a cool place because we have solar panels there. We're not allowed to put solar panels in the hotel because we're part of the medieval walls of the village. So it's, there are many laws that
planning
allow
restrictions.
Us to put.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But on the farm we do. And then we also have, we collect our rainwater on the farm, and we also have, you know, we have a whole water repurposing plant on the farm. So yeah, it's definitely, we are very environmentally geeky and conscious.
It's wonderful. But I mean, was it a challenge to put those things in place?
Yeah, it was definitely, but it all started with my parents. They were the ones who, you know, when they moved there 20 something years ago, they, you know, they already started with solar panels, and they already were putting in the water repurposing plant. They brought it from Germany and the rainwater. So they've always been talking about it, and they changing, you know, that was always from them.
It's very forward thinking. And I feel like now, it's not easy for people running hotels or boutique accommodation to put these things in place. I mean, as you say, the water bottles and bathroom products are a little bit more straightforward now than they were. But yeah. What do you think has been or is the biggest challenge that you face in terms of running a business that is sustainable on every level, from the waste to the energy to the community? What is it that you encounter that you find the most challenging?
Well, I have to say right now, it's definitely just our location, in the sense that we are very rural. And for example, our suppliers are not very conscious. For example, we purchase our fish from the lake. So we're, you know, 15 minutes from the lake, we're right above the lake. So our fish is from the lake, from fishermen there. But when they bring them up, they bring them in styrofoam. So it's like, oh, can you please not bring styrofoam, because styrofoam you can't recycle? And then they're like, but that's what we do. And then I'm like, okay, well then can we return your styrofoam packaging, and then you can reuse it for us because it has Rastrello written on it. Like, okay, that we can do. So there are little things like that we're definitely struggling with. And also, for example, when we're doing our menu development, because we change every month our menu, It has been a challenge to kind of change the local mentality to get a little more off of meat, because Umbria is so meat focused. Mm. And everybody wants meat. And if you don't have meat, then it's, you know, not an Umbrian meal. Yeah. So I think that's been a challenge, but I'm super proud of my kitchen team, because my chefs, because they're really willing to change and grow in that area. And yeah, I think
Have guests been receptive as well? Do you have to explain things to them, or is it very natural? Do they understand it? Or like you said, because something like meat is so within the culture of an Italian meal for guests coming and that's not an option, do you find you're having to educate along the way?
Yeah, definitely. We haven't been able to take meat completely off the menu because we're not there yet. But we do try to say, for example, our grains are from a biodynamic organic farmer, a farm friend of ours, who just literally, it's right, we're overlooking his farms. And so we try to talk a lot about where our products are coming from. And I think that helps highlight other products instead of always talking about the meat. So I don't know if that's a good answer.
But. No, totally. It makes complete sense because you're sort of taking the focus off what you don't have and putting on what you do have, which is amazing local products. And, you know, I think that this is the challenge that we're all facing if we're sort of working towards having a more sustainable approach is that actually what can we talk about that's the positives that we're gaining from this rather than things that we might be having to reduce or have less of. It's like, well, actually, like, let's celebrate this. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so well said. Exactly. And it is fun. It is fun. We have a family from Rome. They have a vacation home close to us, and they're always at, whenever they come to Panicale, they come and they eat, you know, at Restolo. And they're always the one who they're always so grateful. They're like, oh, we love how healthy your food is. And it's nice to see locals receptive to what we're doing because we are a bit different. We're not the typical primi, secondi, contorni that you'll see in most restaurants in our area.
And has it taken a lot of time to get the local community on board with you? Did you face any sort of challenges from them pushing back on what you are trying to do?
I mean, it is definitely an interesting question because I am the only foreigner with a project in town, or a business in town. But I think it helps that we've been there for 30. My family's been there for 30 years. My mother's there all year round. I do travel quite a bit, but she's there all year round. So before we started the project, we were already very much a part of the local community. And I think that the fact that we always encourage our guests to experience town and to go and eat in the restaurants, to go into the piazza, to see all of the sites that we have in town. We have a beautiful Perugino fresco. So we are always talking about Panicale. I hope that all the local people and realize that. And I do feel like they appreciate that.
And have you noticed any knock-on effects for other local businesses in terms of from your approach being so sort of mission and purpose driven and in wanting to be as sustainable as possible? Has that affected any other local businesses to want to kind of do the same thing?
Yeah, actually, that's a nice question. I have noticed. I feel like now, you do see the craft sodas. You do see other restaurants like offering a farm to table. You do see there's one restaurant that never really had anything but meat or fish on the menu, and now they have vegetable, non meat. Plates on their menu. So that makes me super proud because it's just also a world movement, but I feel like in our tiny community, I hope that we kind of helped, start that trend.
For sure. I mean, I think that sometimes we can get into a little bubble of when we work in these spaces of assuming that everyone else is on the same page. And that's not necessarily the case. So it's so super important to bring everyone else on the journey with us. And through educating your staff and engaging with the local community, you know, those small things make such a difference. And what about when it came to like restoring the property? Did you have to make any decisions that perhaps you wouldn't have otherwise made because of the historical site? How did you approach that?
Oh yeah, that was definitely a beautiful challenge because
I like how you phrased that, a beautiful challenge.
Our building's over 500 years old, so we definitely were under very tight and understandable historic regulations. Mm-hmm. We only hired local builders and that use traditional building methods. And it's kind of, it's a family business that was, you know, grandfather, father, and now his son is also there. And so it's just, that was really important to me to hire, a company that kind of had my same values. And it was important to me also seeing how not just how they built, but the materials they built with. So we, you know, all of our stone, we've tried to use as much of the original, materials as possible, which is really, really rewarding when you see it finished, because I feel like, you know, you have a historic home and it feels old, but at the same time, it feels very modern because it has all of these modern amenities. And when I see guests just kind of spending the whole day in the lounge or the whole day in the garden, just reading, and instead of going out and sightseeing, that they actually just want to stay inside, in, you know, in the lounge in the winter or in the garden in the summer, it really warms my heart because that just is like the best compliment possible. And now we're just about to start a new addition renovation. And we've even gotten even more conscious of our building materials, mostly of how we're going to apply that to the new addition. So that's been definitely rewarding. One interesting thing, I wish if I were to ever write a book on starting a small boutique hotel in Umbria.
Which you definitely should, by the way. I think everyone needs to know about this.
No, you're sweet. But it would be to make sure you have like enough electricity and like the basic, because
that would help.
We didn't. This is what I meant at the beginning when it's, you know, it was a very romantic beginning, because the idea was I was all in, but then when it started to the building, it became, there was many challenges that arose. The biggest one being that we didn't have enough electricity to run, you know, just to run a modern small boutique hotel. So I had to then create, an energy room for the energy company to bring more electricity to the whole village. So,
oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's no small feat.
That was definitely, no, that was definitely a challenge.
One which you overcame, and then the other big, though.
Yeah. And then the other challenge is when we were excavating under the garden to create the electric room. We uncovered medieval ruins. So instead of, we changed from big diggers to
pickaxes,
hand brushes oh and hand shovels. Yes.
That must have taken an age.
Well, ironically, it didn't take that long, but it definitely meant more people were working.
But how amazing to have that near your property, that history, and to excavate such, you know, tangibly historical items is incredible. Yeah. I bet that really feeds into the energy of the place as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It definitely does add to the feel of Restelmo. So I'm really grateful for it.
And tell me a bit about, I'm very intrigued to hear a bit more about the olive farming and the sort of the whole process of making your olive oil, which is really important to you, isn't it?
Oh yeah. If that's definitely, what we're passionate about. When we started Restrello as the boutique hotel concept, then I got really serious about our quality of our olive oil. My sister and I both became olive oil sommeliers. So we educated ourselves as much as we could.
You became an olive oil sommelier?
Yes, we both did.
What does that actually involve? That sounds very niche and very wonderful.
Oh yeah, well it's definitely a wonderful experience. It involves a lot of tasting. During the training, we were tasting about a liter of olive oil a day. I know when we came back from our two weeks of the training, my friends would say, wow, what's going on with your skin? You're glowing. And I said, it's because I've been having a liter of olive oil a day.
God, you probably didn't want to see any more olive oil for a very long time after that.
No, I'm actually, I start every morning with a tablespoon of olive oil before. Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice tip. Yeah. Oh, take that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's the basis of the Mediterranean diet. And if you look at even the longevity in the Mediterranean, they attribute it a lot to olive oil.
So, of course. Yeah. And so then you took that back to Rostrello and used your sommelier knowledge to like really feed that through everything that you do there.
Yeah. And it was important for me. After we started understanding how to create a better oil, and from the grove all the way to the pressing, to the packaging, to everything, we started competing in different global competitions. And that year, I just wanted to see if what we were doing was working. And we won, you know, 6 golds throughout, one in Israel, in Canada, and obviously in New York, in London, in Italy. And we won all of these gold awards. So I think it was really important also to show to my team that when we do a product, we really have to focus on the quality before anything else. Mm-hmm. And that quality is really important mm-hmm. to us. And I hope that I just tried to be an example so they understand that that has to go through everything that we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's sometimes can be a bit of a battle in hospitality is the balance between, you know, also trying to inform people that you can still be the best product possible. You can have the highest quality and be making decisions in a mindful and sustainable way. It's not one or the other.
Exactly. 100%. But it is a difficult balance to find because it's easy to not think of sustain of how we're impacting. And it's easier just to throw away. It's easier just to not understand, to think about what I'm doing has a consequence. Mm-hmm. But when you start being conscious about what you do, it does make things many times much more complicated, but I'm really proud of everybody for growing with me.
Well, I think that, you know, and it takes a leader like yourself to help other people be willing to make decisions that are harder and that may involve more work and may make you slightly more uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, they are the right decisions to make. And not only that, but they will probably deliver you a much more fulfilled and high quality experience.
Yeah, no, I definitely hope that that's what we're doing. I just try to show that, you know, how do we be Rostrello and be a source of good, you know, how we can, I mean, it sounds a little bit ideological, but how the whole team and how what we're doing can try to, and what we're trying to be more sustainable is being a good example also.
Absolutely.
Because we are very rural. I mean, I have to emphasize that Panicale is very rural.
But it's true. I think that being an example, not only to your employees and to the local community, but also the wider hospitality industry in general. And I'd be interested to know what your current views are on the hospitality industry, what the main challenges facing it are, and where you see us sort of progressing.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a good question. I feel like properties like ours that especially, I mean, I always say, if you were to start studying hospitality now, post pandemic, I think the whole structure of learning would be completely changed because things have changed so much in just the past 2 years. And fortunately, I think for us that a property like ours that has, right now we only have 8 rooms. With the addition, we're going to have 15. But I feel like definitely a small property like ours is attractive because it's not just the typical city if I'm just focusing on Italy, it's not just the big city, Italian big city that you have to see all the sites and then you go the next day to the next and then you know, it just boom, boom, boom. What a property like ours and what we definitely cater to is the traveler who's looking for a slowed down approach, an experiential trip that helps them understand and be part of a local culture, understand what Italy is really about. Because Panicale is such a beautiful village and it's so authentic. And it's nothing against the big cities of Italy. I love them. But, you know, we don't have that in and out tourism that you do have in the big cities. Guests that who come to us, they either love to just experience Panicale and just really relax, or they also love to go from Panicale and visit a village. And I think, visit a village for the day, come back and just kind of go to wine tastings or truffle hunting or other experiences. Yeah. So it's much more experience driven, I think, led. And also, we have had a lot of guests this past couple of year and a half that we've been open who've come and stayed for for an extended period of time to work at Restrello. So they like do workations. You know, I think that's something that's also a trend that will continue. Especially I just read a report about, you know, Gen Z. And I think that's definitely a group that is going to lead the hospitality business. Mm-hmm. And I think that also marketing wise, they have a different marketing approach. I think hotels need to approach themselves differently towards that group as opposed to, you know, 65 and older. And I think with our digital world, properties are really aware of that. And it's definitely something that I think is becoming more and more, precise and more important. I know for us being so small, it's very difficult to have that marketing, know-how globally. Mm-hmm. So therefore for us, it's really important who we collaborate with, which we're very grateful to be collaborated with, to be part of Design Hotels.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they definitely have the marketing know-how and the support to help represent us in a global way that we just don't have the manpower for.
And we need people to know about you. So it's great that Design Hotels help provide that platform. This has been such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much, Christian. And how I normally end, and I hope that you're ready for it, is I do a bit of a quick fire round. So I have a few questions that are very straightforward, but they only require just quick answers. What does hospitality mean to you?
So hospitality for me is offering a location that guests will feel comfortable in. They feel well attended in a natural way and a place that they'll always want to come back to.
Awesome.
So
what would be your desert island dish?
Oh, a desert island dish. I would just say rice and peas, if that's
no, I love rice and peas. Perfect. That answer is perfect. What's your season of choice?
Oh, definitely the fall.
Why?
I love the change of season. It's getting a little bit cooler. I love just the earth offers so much at that point of the year. It's also during the olive harvest. So how can I not love it?
So you're drinking a liter of olive oil a day.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your chocolate bar or confectionery of choice?
Oh, actually, Luisa Spagnoli, her great granddaughter makes the original Bacci.
Oh.
And she's local. Yes. Because Bacci is now, it's a big company. Perugina is now a big company, but the original recipe, the family still makes them, and I love going there and eating there.
Oh my God, chocolate. That sounds delightful.
Okay,
and last one. Can you give me three words to describe the future of hospitality?
Well, I'm going to say experiential because it's all about experiences. So experiential, is that the word?
Yep, experiential.
Okay, experiential, calm. I think it's much calmer. Mm-hmm. It will be much calmer. And individual.
Yeah.
Individual. Yeah, I guess is that the word? I guess if it has to be a word, I'll say individual.
Perfect.
So experiential, calm, and individual.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm looking forward to sometime in the future coming and visiting you in Umbria.
Oh, Rosie, it was such a pleasure to speak with you. And thank you for taking the time. And you're more than welcome whenever you want.
Wonderful. See you soon.
Thank you, Rosie. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Please, the ethical hospitality podcast from The Conduit. Please do subscribe. This podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For more information about Design Hotels, please visit their website. And for more information about The Conduit and our community of changemakers, please visit theconduit.com.